Good evening, Sharks fans. The Sharks fall in what can only be described as a bizarre and downright horribly goaltended game tonight. The Sharks, unfortunately, fall victim to the Winnipeg Jets 5-3. Here with me tonight on Teal Town USA After Dark is Al Martinet. Al, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. That was a weird game to watch.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it is definitely a weird game to watch. Really a weird game to kind of break down. If you haven't already, I'm going to go ahead and plug that subscribe screen. So if you haven't already, please catch us everywhere. We're on the iTunes Store, Google Play Store, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, pretty much your pod catcher or pod media format that you want to be. And if you want to be a part of this show and get your questions answered by me and Al, you can go ahead and shoot us that question in the chat, or you can use Twitter and at the Teal Town USA, of course, on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, but Twitter is probably the best way to reach us. Use the hashtag Teal Town USA. Okie dokie. Well, how do we go about really dissecting this one, Al? I feel like we first kind of have to hype it up just a little bit. You know, Winnipeg was coming into this thing. You know, they're really battling for that top spot in the Western Conference. Seemed like that dominant team that we thought they would be. And really, I mean, honestly, didn't play all that great, you know, and really self-inflicted wounds. I mean, I want to kind of get your kind of hype going into the game, and then I kind of want to understand like how it lived up to the bill.
So coming to this game, Winnipeg just lost against the Kings, and it was 4-1, I believe. And that's one of the worst losses, I think, this season by any team, considering the state of that LA is in right now. So I kind of knew we were going to get a better overall LA or better overall Winnipeg. And it seemed like they just jumped the gun. First period for the Sharks. It seemed like the Sharks were still finding their legs halfway through.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I feel like the Sharks did kind of stumble into that game a little bit. There was quite a bit of a feeling out process, and then they really kind of got to each other's games. I mean, honestly, it was just back and forth. I think what happened was Sharks came out a little timid, took that penalty, then of course, Winnipeg is on the power play. They take a penalty. We end up 4-on-4. Winnipeg scores that goal 4-on-4. Dustin Byfuglien, unassisted, he basically scores it on a breakaway.
Yes.
So after Winnipeg really kind of took their counterpunch, or actually initial punch, it felt like the Sharks was like, okay, that's how we're going to play. We don't need to feel this out anymore.
Yes, and then you could start to see the team getting better after the Kings, you know, instant response right afterwards. But we knew going in that Winnipeg was one of their best strengths is that their speed and they're really tough. Something that the Sharks just don't have, and they're really bad against speed.
Yeah, the Sharks do seem a little, slower to react, and the culprits of that again is Vlasic and Braun. We thought that they kind of turned a corner a little bit, you know, against that game in the last game on the road trip, or actually first game back against who did we just play?
We played Minnesota.
That's right.
Tuesday.
Yeah, it seems like a while ago for some reason. I guess I'm mentally preparing for that, you know, 3 games and 4 nights deal.
I will say that like the last 5 games haven't been against quality opponents.
Very good point.
So Yeah, it looked like they played great, but I think the big worry sign was that they lost still 6-1, 6-2 against Ottawa. So there's, I don't want to say that the train's back on schedule, but it seems like it's getting better just because of the way that Erik Karlsson has been playing lately.
Well, let's go into that. I mean, in that first period, you know, we were kind of wondering, okay, can the Sharks really adapt to how Winnipeg is playing? Well, Evander Kane, I mean, took a pass from Jumbo and just laser beams it. I mean, he bulls his way to the front of the net and he just takes that shot and he gets that goal. And you think, okay, maybe the Sharks can really hang around with Winnipeg, you know?
Yeah, I thought they controlled much majority of the second period.
That was actually part of the first.
Just coming to that first period, I thought they were playing pretty even. Just the turnovers was what was killing the Sharks. They had 13 turnovers to, you know, Winnipeg's 12, but it seemed like it was in open ice territory.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, it did seem like it kind of gunked up a little bit in going in, but you know, the Sharks were able to draw a power play and Joe Pavelski was able to score just an awesome, awesome setup by Karlsson to LeBanc. LeBanc lays on that wrister and man, he's got a shot. I just wish he would shoot a little bit more.
Yeah, he's the younger Joe Thornton of the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, he's definitely got the passing itis for sure. But yeah, Joe Pavelski ends up getting his butt on that and goes in. But just an awesome setup there on the power play. The power play looks like a well-oiled machine. What have you seen from the power play lately, Al?
I think they're creating more space with having Burns and Erik Karlsson online. Yeah. There were a couple of times early the season where they would split those two up, and that was a real question mark.
Yeah.
But at least there's actually support for the defenseman to pass the puck to supporters, left wing, center. That seemed like it wasn't the case 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So at least the puck movement is there. I'm not too sure if Joe Thornton's on the power play unit.
He's on the second unit.
Yeah, but that seems like just because how Joe Thornton is, he's always going to go behind the net and operate there. It seems like it's more in front of the net, and I like it that way.
Right. I agree as well. And they really are mixing in that Karlsson Burns pairing earlier in the power play. I feel like they kind of put it at the end of the power play set plays because figured, okay, you know, we don't really know how to do this. They're not gelling yet. Let's kind of just throw it in there at the last second, kind of see what we can get going. And now you can see that pair really evolve into the number one pair, especially when you deploy Timo, Logan, and Hurdle, or you swap in LeBanc, which I think is what they run, is Hurdle, Couture, LeBanc, and then the two hot hands in the back of Burns and Karlsson. So, you know, I feel like the power play has found its groove. I really like that. The Sharks took quite a few penalties and they didn't allow Winnipeg to score, and Winnipeg being the number one ranked power play. And, you know, you thought, okay, you know, Sharks are going toe to toe. They're actually leading, you know, let's try and get out of the rest of this period with this lead. And then the weirdness began.
Oh, Jones. Please get back on Twitter. We need you 2015, 2016 version.
Yeah, and what can only be described as like one of the biggest gaffes of the Jones era. I mean, there have been a few, but this one's among one of his more, one of those ones where it's just like, what are you thinking there?
Is this the second goal or the third goal?
No, this is the first goal.
First goal. In the second period or the first period?
First period.
I put that more on Burns in a way because he's the one that caused the turnover. It was a really good play by Dustin Byfuglien, having a breakaway. But honestly, like if Burns doesn't turn over that puck, Byfuglien isn't skating at the speed he's at. And that's just a hard position for Jones.
I'm talking about the goal where they dump it in and then he plays it off the...
That's the second goal.
Yeah, it's the second goal, right. Okay. And so it's just like Burns goes out of the net, tries to play that puck, and he's got to know that if he plays that, if he comes out, he has to play that puck. You know, it has to be, you know, put into play.
I don't have much of an issue with the second goal because it's a ricochet off the boards. The boards aren't friendly for some reason this year. And, you know, that could happen. Maybe not once, maybe not twice, but sure as hell not three times. But the goal that was really eye-popping to me was the third goal, where it seems like Jones didn't have a lot of net presence in net and allowed that puck just to go straight past him.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with that. It seems like he tried to want to front that puck immediately and then realized, I'm not going to be able to get to this one. Tries to kind of like crawl back to the net and trips over himself. And it's just a gaffe, another gaffe. Like, what the heck are you doing, man? Like,
yeah,
somebody give you a cat and kill the cat and have, you know, crazy... a crazy fit or something. I mean, like, I don't know. It just did not make sense. And I don't know where his head was at. Probably about his dead cat. So we're joined by AJ Strong. AJ, how are you doing?
What up, boys?
Hey, AJ.
What's going on?
Well, we're just talking about the big brain fart that Martin Jones had.
More specific
on the third goal.
Yeah, that was also not great defense. I mean, the fact that he basically got through two defenders, crosses the crease, and you know, Jones has to overplay it. I don't know that puck should have even gotten that close to Jones. For me, you know, I go back. You look at this game as a whole. I thought the Sharks played well. The first goal is the one I want back. That breakaway, that one pissed me off. The Stanchion goal, what can you do? That's puck luck, you know. That
and then, but the third goal was definitely a self-inflicted wound. You know,
it seemed like Jones is not sitting up in the net, like, and he's more or less just backing into the net and allowing opportunities in front of the net. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why that's the case. When I remember him just being on top of the net, off top of the blue line, and whatever happens, and you got rebounds that the defense carried him out. But it just seems like with the way the NHL is trying to get, you know, your bodies in front of the net, it seems like Jones is kind of working in the favor of the offense by doing that.
Right. I'm totally agree with you there, Alex. What about you, AJ? How do you feel about Jones's play of late? You know, he's had these, picked up these wins, but almost despite, you know, the team, right?
Well, I mean, he got a shutout last game. It was obvious he was going to go. The thing that gets you is you knew Winnipeg was going to be pissed off coming into this because they just lost 4-1 to the worst team in the NHL two nights earlier. So you knew they were going to be jacked again. I thought the Sharks played well. This, to me, was just a fluky game. It was just this could have went either way. Again, I go back to the first goal. That's one you need Jones to have. I thought out of the first period, the Sharks should have been up 2-1, carried that. And the fourth goal, the go-ahead goal for Winnipeg, that was another one I thought Jones just the
out first to lunch.
Goal, yeah, the first goal and the fourth goal, those are the ones that really stick with me. I thought for the most part, the guys in front of them played well. They outshot Winnipeg, and the Sharks were really doing well in the second period. A couple of ticky-tack calls both ways, but that might have screwed up the flow a little bit. But
yeah, I don't have much issue with the first goal. It's just I think that's more on Burns.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Than on Jones.
But Jones has to have those once in a while. Not every time, but it seems like he just does not have those goals when you need him.
He's just or he lets in those really just bizarre goals where it's like, boy, if you had just played positionally sound, or if you hadn't played too far back into the net, or be
in the net. How about that?
Yeah, or be in the net. I mean, it's almost as bad as Adventures with Niemi. You know, I mean, and sorry, I mean, Al, but, you know.
Okay, let's put this way. Niemi stays in the TV screen. Joan just slides off the TV screen.
Wow.
Well, yeah, it was reminding me of Shades of Niemi, you know, and sometimes, you know, Nabby had those real big brain farts too, and those were pretty funny, but this was not funny.
That fourth goal was Shields-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to pull the reference. Yeah, definitely Steve Shields. Don't even get me started. It kind of reminds me of like the Three Stooges or whatever back there. They kind of like trip over themselves and, you know, have some circus music in the background.
Other than that, I thought the Sharks had a good game. I thought Kane had a really good game tonight.
Yeah. Well, Kane, he was pissed off. And I think he really wanted to show Winnipeg, you know, how can I, you know, I'm doing way better here than in your rinky-dink town, you know, your racist rinky-dink town.
Dude had you're no Wi-Fi having.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude definitely seemed jacked to, had a little chip on his shoulder, something to prove.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Into my mystery ornaments from tonight.
And by the way, that view that I just expressed about the racistness of Winnipeg, that comes from Wyszynski, Greg Wyszynski on the old Wyszynski versus Merrick podcast. And, you know, they just lay into Winnipeg media. And I think that really pissed off Kane. And he came and he looked like he was pissed off. Well, in that second period, we'll get back to the game. Finally, within the dying seconds of the second period, the Sharks tie the game up again. It's now 3-3. We are going into the third period. Of course, AJ kind of broke down that goal for us from Nick Ehlers. And then the awarded goal for the hat trick. I feel like that was probably the right call. But again, I'm wondering where the Sharks' urgency is. I mean, you know, where is the team on that one? At this, you know, they had too many guys pinching down low and got caught.
I'm not really too sure it's about that. I think it was just frustration when the shots are 44 to 24.
Yeah.
You would think they would have four goals, five goals. Like, this is a game that Winnipeg obviously stole from San Jose. I don't think the fifth goal should have been called, you know, just because the way that Erik Karlsson was somewhat near him, he could have done something, but I don't think the Sharks were going to win or even come back from the OT.
Well, you knew it was bad. Like, this is one that you could have like put to bed early in the first period. When you saw that Appleton got his first ever NHL goal, that's when you just went, oh, good. Another one of those for the Sharks.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a Sharks game with that happening.
Exactly. And so just quickly going down the your stat pack here, the shots on goal, the Sharks just dominate. I mean, it was not pretty. It was 44 to 24 shots on goal. And a lot of them of the high danger variety. I don't feel like this was your garden run of the mill. Oh, let's shoot from the point McClellan-esque type stat inflator. But I felt like they had a pretty good volume and then a pretty good shot selection and high danger chances. Going into the faceoff circle, the Sharks have been climbing up little by little. And today they go 54% on the Jets. And, you know, they made those key faceoffs down in the offensive zone. I think they're doing a lot better with that. And I also think they're winning a lot of faceoffs on the power play as well, which is helping them out greatly. Power play, the Jets go 0 for 3. Sharks go 1 for 4, and the penalty kill really helps out the Sharks there with that number one lethality Jets power play. Pims 13-11. We did have that fight with Goodrow.
I don't know that I could call that a
fight. Yeah, if you don't even want to call it a fight.
A whooping, a beat down.
Yeah.
I was surprised Goodrow didn't go straight to the dressing room because kid got rocked.
Yes, he did. The Jets, guys, 22 blocks. So that means there were 64 pucks shot towards the net. And that's not even including like missed shots, like 64 shots. No, again, 66 shots.
That's what you kind of want from the Sharks, though. You want, but I would say shots on goal is kind of an overrated stat, but in games like these, it just shows that the Sharks were putting in better 60-minute effort than Winnipeg, and they just got beaten by good goalie performance.
Definitely a good goalie performance, but I think also those self-inflicted wounds really wreaked havoc with the morale of the team.
Yeah, but at least I'm blanking on the goalie's name, but at least
Hellebuck.
Hellebuck, thank you.
Dude, how do Hella. You miss Hellebuck?
Hella.
I'm dealing with a migraine, EJ. But at least he made the saves he needed to make, unlike Jones, which is obviously becoming more and more of a worry.
You're totally right. You're totally right. And I don't know what it's going to take, but we do remember that the Sharks had to go out and find a backup goaltender the Stanley Cup run year because of the shakiness of Jones. And you got to wonder if he needs a kick in the pants. You know, you wonder if Dell needs to start more games.
Again, I'm not going to get too crazy on this because, again, one of these goals, a total fluke. Yeah. So, like, I don't want to take, you know, get too crazy on him. And the fact that, yeah, he did just pitch a shutout. I go back to this was just a puck luck game. The Sharks are gonna be on the right end of one of these. I just can't get, again, it's like after Minnesota, shutting out Minnesota, I was very much talking about it going, I can't get too excited about this. I can't get too excited about the run of winning 6 of 7 because the teams that you were facing were marginal. They don't have winning records with the exception of Montreal, and that's like by a hair. So this was a huge litmus test for the Sharks, and I thought they'd play again. You look at the numbers. I mean, 44 shots, plus you said the 22 blocks. They got puck on them. Hellebuck, stick taps to him. They played well. And coming into this, over the last 5 games, Ehlers, Scheifele, and who's the guy that I'm missing?
Patrick Laine.
Nope.
Wheeler?
Yes. Ehlers, Scheifele, and Wheeler, last 5 games, 23 points. Last 5 games for the Sharks, Meyer, Couture, and Hurdle, 23 points. I mean, very even. So, I will say, too, I thought there was a couple times where it felt like Erik Karlsson tonight, for me, was seeing the game a lot further ahead than the rest of the team. There was a couple times where he was playing at another level, and the other guys on the team just, where did that come from?
Especially in the second period.
Yeah, in the second period, exactly. I want to talk about how well Brendan Dillon is playing with Erik Karlsson. I feel like that, you know, Brendan Dillon has taken a lot of heat, sometimes from us, mostly from me. But, and, you know, I just want to say that he really has stepped up his game and those skating clinics that he's been going to and just all the time he's invested in skating, it's going noticed. And he's able to keep up with Karlsson and able to add that physical element. Radim Šimek played another good game tonight. You know, just steady, making the right play when he needs to, has a little bit of creativity. I don't know if you guys saw that deke out move that he has. So he's got some tricks, but unfortunately it didn't work. However, he's just always in the right spot. But then we come to Vlasic and Braun. And I still think that there's something going on there. I don't see the Vlasic and Braun of normal. I maybe even suspect Braun's dealing with something, but I don't know. It just has not looked right all season.
AJ? I think Vlasic is the one that's dealing with some injury, and that's more or less affecting Braun's importance on that line. I think Braun's been decent, but I don't think you really counted on him to, you know, on offense. And so if the regression on Vlasic is the issue, then that third line or second defensive core is going to really take a hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, AJ, what's your thoughts on the Vlasic Braun situation?
I just have no idea what is going on with those guys. I mean, you saw Braun take a penalty in like the first 40 seconds, like just a lazy slash. And when you saw, and it was annoying to me to like hear the fans boo it. I get it because it's in your own board and you call it that quick. Okay, fine. But when you saw the replay, it's like, it was a slash. You know, what are you going to do? You keep your stick down. Don't do that. So that's one you look at and you just, you guys can't play that way. But something's got to give with Vlasic and Braun. I don't know if you have to limit their minutes a bit more or, figure out what is going on. There was somebody who did an article today that was talking like they're putting up their worst numbers they've ever put up. And meanwhile, you know, Erik Karlsson has, you know, points like 8 points in the last 6 or 7 games. You know, maybe it's Brett just Burns. Time to, and Brett Burns. I'm surprised Burns doesn't have more goals. Yeah, he's killing it in assists, but he only has like 3 or 4 goals. I'm surprised that he's not at least at, you know, sniffing double digits at this point.
You can blame that on Pavelski, though.
I mean, honestly, how many of those of Pavelski's goals are direct Brent Burns shots? Got to be at least 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
more than that, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know, the Sharks, while, you know, they had the other teams playing in their division tonight, and we will go over that we'll go over that now.
I will say though that Karlsson and Burns tonight, both, Karlsson almost 28 minutes, Burns 27 minutes. Yeah. When both of those two are on the ice together, it's never not interesting.
I hear you, AJ. I feel like though that they are getting more comfortable with each other, so they know when each one's going to go off. So I feel like Burns is being a little bit more defensively responsible in that pair, but
more defensively responsible than Vlasic the last couple of games.
Oh, well, yeah, that goes back to the Vlasic issue, but just quickly, we're going to go ahead and wrap this game up and we'll go to everybody's favorite time.
Dear Lord. Hold on. Now refresh my memory. Vlasic's a righty, isn't he?
Lefty. Vlasic's a lefty.
Is it lefty? Okay, so Braun's a righty. Okay, and then Joakim is a lefty.
Yes, Joakim is a lefty because Burns is a righty.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe it's time to sit Braun and pop Ryan in there for a game.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you though, or Heed, but unfortunately, Heed's
a righty.
Yeah, everybody is looking for the right-handed defenseman, and seeing we have them all.
That is the thing that is a little kind of maddening to me, is the fact that, and I think we brought this up before, is that they're riding 8 defensemen this season, which the Sharks have like really never done. Unless, I mean, I remember some games during the Ron Wilson era where you would dress 7 defensemen, and when you gotta have a when you have a guy like Tim Heed, that would afford you that opportunity. But the fact of the matter is, it's just odd that, okay, Ryan, just the combination of the 3, Heed, Ryan, and Šimek. Okay, we can't send these guys down because they'll get claimed off waivers, but we can't start them. It's just kind of like, well, if they're not good enough to play, then get rid of them if you're afraid you're going to lose something, you know, like make a deal. Get a pick.
I think the thing that they're worried about, though, is like, let's say they have an injury to Vlasic, Karlsson, or Burns, and unfortunately, like it or not, Karlsson comes with an injury history. So maybe he's playing the insurance policy, and you know, it makes sense. Your decor is really, I mean, that studly, and you want to make sure that you don't have too much of a drop off. That's how I would do it. Would keep both a lefty and a righty up with me. So I can understand the logic, but I also see where you guys are coming from. I'd like to see maybe he'd go in a game for Braun. Then it kind of gives you that mobile shooting platform guy.
You know what? Throw caution to the goddamn wind. Is the next game versus LA?
LA, yeah.
Okay, worst team in the league. Damn it. Throw caution to the wind. Ryan and Braun and Vlasic, throw them up in the box and put Ryan and Heed in their place. You know,
yeah. I mean, if you really wanted to send that message, I don't see it happening.
I'm assuming you want Delvisaar against the Kings.
Oh, that's a good point. Let's go.
But I'm afraid that it's, well, they're going to go Jones because, you know, used to be with the Kings, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, right. But, that, you know.
Yeah, which I think is silly. You know, it's like that was 4 years ago. Let it go. No, I think the LA game is a perfect time to get Dell in because you're playing Arizona the next night before you get the break. Definitely get Dell has to play one of those games. I mean, it is back to back. So
it is back to back. So Jones will start both.
Yeah, really. Hold on. Are you using one of your hockey sticks to hang your jerseys on? Yes. Oh, and people were asking
Warrior.
People were asking where Puck Guy is. He may still be outside the tank bothering Brody at the end of post game. For all I know. I don't know.
Don't you just do that on your cell phone?
Well, I mean, I do. But Puck Guy is so annoying. He does it in person. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Let it go, people.
Well, AJ, can you cue up that sound? Because it is time for that time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the NHL.
That sucked. That had suck written all over it.
My heart just wasn't in it.
Yeah, mine either.
Like tonight.
There it's that time go. Again. It is the NHL reach around. There we go. Well, we'll start out east. The Ducks visiting the Bruins. The Ducks lose 3-1. So you thought, okay, maybe this night's going to go well. SoCal goes down against the Bruins. The Duckies go against the Bruins. Maple Leafs, really, I mean, putting up a really tough score on the Florida Panthers, Bob Bugner's team, 6-1.
You know, a lot of people speculate. I mean, you see Matthews with two, you see Tavares with two, each get one on the power play. A lot of people speculating that Marleau will not be with the Toronto Maple Leafs next season because of their cap situation.
Yeah, I've heard those rumblings too. I know they have to get Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews signed up, and that's going to be a pretty penny.
Welcome back to San Jose, Patrick Marleau.
I put it out there. I said Marleau is not going to finish that contract out in Toronto, and they're going to get him for like a sixth round pick, and they're going to like split the cost 50-50.
It would not surprise me if something like that happens. I mean, you knew he wasn't going to play all 3 years. It's the reason why, you know, Doug Wilson wasn't going to give him that term.
Right. Exactly. But I mean, Marleau's held his own. He's done well for a third line player, which is what he is at this point in his career, unfortunately. But, you know, I think he's done well. Is he worth the $6 million that he's getting? I don't think so, but alas. The Flyers beat the Predators 2-1. In that game, unfortunately, I mean, Pekka looked like he played a pretty good game, but Jacob Voracek and Claude Giroux with the two goals. Hart gets his second NHL win, Carter Hart.
I almost had to check with you for a second. I'm going to wait. The Philadelphia Flyers won a game? Really?
Two in a row.
Yeah, I know. I had to double check myself there, too.
It's way more annoying.
And thank God the mute button still works. All right. So holy hell, dude, your car connection is just as bad as the one at home, bro.
quite possibly worse if that was possible.
Oh my.
Oh, poor Puck Guy. He's just
if you want to hear Puck Guy, he'll be on After Dark later this evening.
But the Wild, losing again. And, now those games in hand, they're not picking up on where they should be. So could Minnesota be falling out here? But they lose to the Penguins 2-1.
Think they go with Stalock the next game?
Do pick with the loss. I'm but just saying. Al, care to talk?
Stalock is not better than any Sharks goalie ever I've mentioned on this podcast. So why don't we just leave his name out of this?
Red Wings win again. And I can't believe this, but the Red Wings are inching back to 500. Not NHL.
But versus their former goaltender.
Yeah. So Peter Mrazek takes the loss 4-1 against the Hurricanes. Nick Cronwall with a goal on the power play. Franz Nielsen, Jacob Erickson, Dylan Larkin.
What happened to Dylan Larkin? Was it, he was supposed to be like some badass about two seasons ago, and then he's just kind of.
Yeah, not sure. But Carolina only gets Svechnikov, his 10th goal on the season. But I think we all know who's going getting that one. That's the Elias Pettersson bowl right now. The Blue Jackets beat the Devils. I mean, who hasn't beat the Devils, right? They beat them 2-1. Fogliano and Atkinson with the goals there. Don't really care about the Devils. Blackhawks, oh my goodness, they put a 5 spot on their Central Division rival, the Dallas Stars.
The worst team in the Central, Cam Warded this bitch.
Yes. We've been waiting so long for that, and here it is. They Cam Warded that bitch with a 5-2 score. DeBrincat, Gustafsson, Kane again, and Perlini with Cam Warding this bitch to the win. Oh man. And you look at Dallas, and you know, they seemed like this big kind of intimidating team, and all of a sudden they're kind of reeling now. It's just funny how it goes. It's really cyclical. But Tyler Seguin with his 11th goal, and Taylor Fadun with his 2nd, former Sharks player Taylor Fadun, who had a cup of coffee here. The Lightning beat the Flames 5-4, and you thought once that final came in the third period, you're like, okay, if the Sharks can just get a point here, get some ground back on the Flames, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it, and just such a wasted opportunity. And I think that's for me what's the most, you know, the biggest bummer. But maybe this is a sign that the Pacific Division teams in front of the Sharks are going to start to cool off here.
I don't know. That had to have been the game of the night. I mean, yeah. Lightning, best team in the league, and then Flames doing, I mean, killing it.
Flames things, yeah.
Dude, Rittich, holy hell. I mean, yeah. obviously not tonight, but generally speaking.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally saved their season.
Yeah, I mean, you put 4 on the Lightning, that's nothing to sneeze about.
Oh, of course. And so Andre Palat, Steven Stamkos, Alex Killorn, Dan Girardi, and the Lightning beat those Calgary Flames with Louis Domingue in goal, which is, we know that name from Arizona fame. Calgary, Sam Bennett, Sean Monahan, Michael Backlund, Johnny Gaudreau, and those are your Flames scorers. The Canadiens beat the Coyotes, and boy, I think for me, the biggest surprise is how good the Canadiens have done. This is a team that we thought might challenge for, that the number one overall pick this year is Jack Hughes.
Lose
for Hughes. We thought that the Canadiens would be front and center, but they keep finding a way. And oh my God, Shea Weber has 5 goals. So, you know, that's pretty crazy.
The price is right now.
The price is right. AJ, so, I mean,
moving on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had that one waiting on it.
Canucks beating up on the Blues, and the grounded carcass that is the Blues are just getting run over time and time again. 5-1. Bo Horvat, Guedeau, I think, Josh Levo, Vertanen, and Louis Eriksson, with Jacob Markstrom in the net. Jake Allen, surprise, surprise, the loser in net for the Blues. The Golden Knights beat the Islanders 4-2. This was also why you wanted to have that game from Winnipeg. But the Islanders, Matthew Barzal and Brock Nelson in the first, and Vegas with Brandon Perlini, Carlson.
Perlini.
Brandon Peary, excuse me. I'm thinking Chicago. Oof.
Hey, and at least somebody named Carlson scored tonight.
Right? Da-doom. Yeah, William Carlson and Paul Stastny scoring and Nate Schmidt scoring. So, you know, kind of going back over the standings now,
Paul Stastny. There's a player St. Louis would like to have back.
Yeah, I feel like there's a few that the St. Louis would like to have back. But anyhow, Winnipeg goes up to 35 games played, 48 points. They lead the Western Conference. I'm going to take a look here. Tampa Bay has 56, so they've got 8 more points. Oh, my goodness. Tampa Bay is just on a roll. But Winnipeg leading the Western Conference with 48 points. AJ? Yeah,
but you know what, though? I mean, that's all well and good. You know, last time I looked, winning the President's Trophy doesn't necessarily go bode well for your chances to being the Cup winner at the end.
Oh, I know. I know. And you wonder if they've kind of expended all their energy before they even get there.
Yeah, it's like the best new Grammy Award. You like never hear from them again.
that year after year with Tampa Bay. So,
yeah. And Al's got the standings here. Thank you, Al. We go over at Nashville. It's got 46 points. They're 2 points out of first place in Central and 2 points out of ganging up on the Western Conference. Excuse me. And Colorado has 44 points. Over in the Pacific, I think this is kind of where we're all kind of all eyes, because surprise, surprise, the wild cards are both Pacific Division teams. And we were thinking that there is no way that the Pacific would get more than 3 teams going in. But I think that there's some old stalwarts that are still in the division that are, you know, kind of vying for that 1-2-3 spot. But Edmonton and Vegas, both up and comers. So as it stacks right now, Calgary with 36 games played, 47 points. The Sharks are still 4 points behind, so it wasn't that big of an issue losing tonight, but could have gotten some points on Calgary.
Yeah, I have to assume that Anaheim is not going to make the playoffs or be even the top 3 in the Pacific. So
I can't imagine they can sustain this.
Well, we keep saying that, and then John Gibson
will go down somewhere at some point.
I mean, this is... I'm surprised it's happened considering how many injuries the Ducks have, but at best I see them making a wild card at this point because it's December, almost Christmas. Normally, if you're in your division leading it, you'll make the playoffs. So
yeah. And going back to the whole President's Trophy thing, Felix saying, didn't Washington do so last season? No, the Predators won the President's Trophy last season. The Washington Capitals won it the previous two seasons. But then the friggin' Rangers won it in 15. Wow, that seemed weird.
Wasn't it 13 or 14?
So it says 14-15 here. The Bruins in 13-14. They that didn't work for them. The Chicago Blackhawks 2012-2013. That's the last team to win the trophy and the cup. Then you've got the Canucks of all teams winning it twice, 11-12 and in 10-11. And as you know, 10-11, they lost the cup to the Bruins.
Right.
Then the Capitals, then the Sharks. Then I think the next team to win the trophy and the cup was did Detroit win the cup in 08 or was it 07?
No, it was
Pittsburgh won it in 08.
No, wait a minute. 9-10 was Blackhawks. Yeah, so the year before that it was 8-9 was Detroit, and then Pittsburgh won the first one, or was it Detroit won the first
one? Detroit won the first one. So I think it was Detroit won the first one. Yeah, so basically my point is that over the last 11 years, the President's Trophy winner has won the cup twice. That's, you know, so you're talking like 17% of the time. So, yeah, it's not, I'm not saying it's the kiss of death, but it certainly doesn't, bode well for you statistically.
Yeah, so, I mean, Anaheim also, too, the big thing that we should kind of point out is Anaheim has a negative 11 goal differential, and that's not a good sign for them. Sharks have a plus 11, and you can see they're kind of trending in the right direction. They're 500 away from the tank, which is good. They're 11-4-2, which is really good at home. But Anaheim has 43 points, same as us. They have 3 less rows, and we have 1 game in hand on them. We also have a game in hand against Vegas, with Vegas with 42 points occupying that first wild card position. We knew that they were going to heat up, and here they're going. Edmonton, surprisingly, with 39 points, is your second wild card with two games in hand on Vegas and one game in hand on San Jose.
That's the team that scares me right now because they have the firepower up front, but the defense was playing like garbage, and Talbot and Kiskanen were playing like hot garbage when T-Mac was there. Hitchcock knows how to fix that stuff.
Yeah, and then they're getting Sakara back, and then they're also getting Klefbom, so they'll have their players back, and it's going to make the division race that much more interesting. It's going to put that much more pressure for the Sharks to figure out their goaltending, which is, for me, the biggest issue on this team right now.
Yes.
Okay. Power play and penalty kill, perfect. I mean, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But goaltending.
Okay, Chris, just calm down with the math. I could have configured it the other way, and it would have been 10% instead of 17. You know, you can go back as far as you want. You know, go back the last 25 years and figure it out. Give me a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris JWS joining that chat. If you haven't already, please go ahead and subscribe with the little red subscribe button and the bell. But if you want to get your last second questions in, we will be here probably answering for the next, say, 5 minutes, and then we will sign off. So
we got some goodies tonight.
Okay, go ahead.
So here is one of the ornaments that was the giveaway. You know, it does really want to make you like take this to a woodshop place and like really file down these into points so you could turn it into like some sort of throwing star. Well, this one's Suomela, and another one from who is this? Oh, for those of you who haven't seen his signature yet, Lukas Radil, got one of those. And then what is this? The Melkman again. If only one Carlson could have scored tonight that was on the Sharks. And then of course the Beard Bros. So,
fun, yeah, and hey, so we've got a couple questions. Felix asking, speaking of the playoffs, what are your thoughts on the expanded playoffs? AJ, what are your thoughts on the expanded playoffs? Do you feel like it's fool's gold because it is a horrible team kind of going up for another spot? If you increase it by two, do you have the two wild cards have to play one play-in game? And then whoever does that has to go into the divisional series. What are you thinking?
No, 1,000 times no. There's nothing. You already at this point have more than half the league getting into the playoffs. It does not need to be expanded. No. If you do that, all it is, that's just a clear money grab. Nope.
You actually need less teams to make the playoffs to make it seem competitive for the regular season.
Yep,
that would make every game more valuable.
Well, it's been 16 since we expanded. When I think
2000.
No, it's been longer than that. We're talking like
the new system. That's right.
Yeah, we're talking like Detroit in the West.
I'm still one of those guys though that I know that it was covered. Was it Stamkos? I think was quoted as saying that he would like to go back to, you know, one versus eight, two versus seven, instead of keeping everything in your division until the conference final.
I could buy that. I could go with that because,
I understand what they're doing with keeping in the division because you're trying to push the rivalry thing. And if you're the Sharks, if you're a team like the Sharks, where do you want to have, I don't know, face Dallas or face Chicago, where you're going to be going in and out of your time zone, versus where if you stay in your division, you're pretty much guaranteed to be in your time zone the entire way, unless you play, you know, Edmonton or Arizona. Oh, no, by that time, I think. Isn't California and Arizona like in the same time zone after March?
After March, yeah.
Yeah, it's spring forward. So then it would be fine. That wouldn't, yeah. So it would just be like Edmonton, I believe, is the only one that would be a time difference. But
Calgary?
It's one of the two, yeah. Or both. But either way, that's my only thing with that is I get that for travel, but I miss those. There was just some great matchups between Colorado, St. Louis, Dallas.
I mean, you know, we'd play Chicago.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Minnesota Sharks. I think that that would be interesting.
And we had a we had two back to back, like it was, what was it, 06 and 07, where it was Nashville,
the Predators, so, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So like those, I thought, you know, I thought that was kind of cool. And I don't know, like I was more pumped a couple seasons ago where you know we faced Nashville and then St. Louis. I don't know. I think Chris is saying divisional rivalries are overrated. I kind of agree. Like, again, I like the travel aspect of it, but I don't know. I prefer 1-8.
But that being said, I do like to see San Jose, LA. I think that that's always a good matchup when they're good, when they're both good, of course. But I think the Ducks in San Jose or the Ducks in LA, I think the California kind of triangle, I think there's a bunch of interesting playoff matches there. There is history there. So for me, it's interesting.
The thing that I go back to is I think it's messed up that you could have two teams in the Central. Or hell, you could have three teams in the Central that have more points than the winner of the Pacific.
Yes.
And you end up seeing one of those teams go out in the first round, where that might not happen if it's 1-8.
But if and they're then, the
or
best,
you'll see a lower, or you'll see a team that has lower points getting home ice in a round.
But so like the thing is though, if they're the best team, and this is my argument for the divisional people who say, oh, I don't want to see a good team go blown out in the first round. But if they're the best team and they get picked off in the first round, then they weren't clearly the best team. That's why
they weren't the best team for that series.
Right. And so why should, you know, if a plucky team beats the number one seed and, you know, kind of takes their position, like I don't see a problem with that.
Yes and no. I think if you go 1-8, you put everybody, the higher seeded teams, that's the advantage. You know, it's like that's what they played for, those 82, was to try to get as high as they could so that their opponent in the first round would be a weaker opponent. Now, granted, if you're the plucky team like the 94 Sharks and you're able to pick off a team, yeah, that's fantastic. But Detroit, I think that's what even made that more special, is because Detroit had every advantage in that.
Right.
You know, they were the heavy favorites. And so Who won the President's Trophy? That was that the Rangers.
In 2014.
We're talking 94. Yeah, 94? Yeah. It was the 93-94 was the Rangers because they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So, but I remember going in, Detroit was the heavy favorite to win the Stanley Cup. So that either way, I enjoy 1-8 more.
I do too. But go ahead. I was just going to say that the way the playoffs are sorted out, it's meant to give large market teams every chance possible to make it to the Stanley Cup. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes we face LA way too many times, but
I'm so sick of LA.
I'm at this point too, but I think mostly the way that the playoffs are formatted are all mostly due to the way NBC is becoming a bigger factor. Maybe not now, but I think
they will be, but they'll be coming up on that contract, and ESPN, from what I hear, wants back in. Let's go ahead and move off this point though, because there is a couple other questions I want to get to, and they're kind of in the similar vein. What is up with the whole Suomela situation and where he is and why he's not up? Is one question. The other one is, why doesn't DeBoer trust Aaron Dell? Suomela just needs more consistency, in my opinion, and that's why he's not getting the time on ice. And Melker Carlson is a known commodity at this point.
Yes,
and also, AJ? The thing is, if Suomela was a really good penalty killer, that could have been a huge difference. That would have been a thing that would have probably gotten him some more ice time. But
I agree.
I have no problem with him getting some more time in the A. And, you know, let him get some more seasoning in his game. How many times did we see Tierney go down and then come back up, and he got better and better every time? Let the same thing happen with Suomela, because essentially Suomela is kind of like the guy that you looked at to replace Tierney. So, you know,
yeah.
go with no, it.
I totally agree with it. You got to go earn it, and especially for that role, that third line role, fourth line role, you got to earn those. Let's quickly go on to the other one. The other question was, why not Aaron Dell? And I think we kind of answered that at the beginning. He got a shutout last game. There was no way that Peter DeBoer was going to, have his highest earning goaltender not face the hottest team, you know, in the Western Conference, or, you know, and that was working against Dell, but I think also the shutout was working against Dell. So I would assume that we're going to see Dell in one of these back-to-backs. I think it'll probably be Jones for LA, depending on how Jones plays. If he does get a shutout or he does play really well, I wouldn't be surprised to see him play again, just because Peter DeBoer wants to get him on a roll.
Yeah, I could see that happening, but it looked like Jones tonight was a little bit sleepwalking, so it wouldn't surprise me if Dell starts and then for the back-to-back, Jones starts.
Yeah. AJ, why don't you go ahead and finish it up? Tell the people where you can be found, and you know, I want you to finish your point first, and then we'll kind of go around.
Just for me, that I was just going to go, you know, remember the last time we saw Dell play was him mopping up for a horrendous performance by Jones. So I think Dell's definitely starting one of the next two games. I would prefer him to start the game versus LA. I think that helps boost his confidence a little bit, and it gives Jones another day to kind of, you know, sit in the box and think about what you did. But anyway, AJ underscore strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram, also throwing some Graham stuff up there for the Teal Town USA Instagram.
Al, quickly, where can the people find you? Let's get your finishing thoughts on the night.
Finishing thoughts. I thought the Sharks played well, didn't get the W, but, you know, honestly, I think the Sharks are showing positive direction, unlike 2 weeks ago. So that's what you kind of have to look for in terms of the Sharks. You can find me on Twitter at Al Martinet. It's in the description. I'm always talking hockey, always talking video games. So you can find me there.
And I'm Eric Landy. You can use my first name, Eric, E-R-I-K, my last name, Landy. And you can put those together. It's at Eric Landy on Twitter. You can use my first name and last name on all the rest of the social media garbage. AJ's got something thrown up here. What do we have here? It is Owen Nolan.
All-star game, huh?
All-star game cheer card.
Yeah, the cheer card that they rolled out tonight. I don't know about the might need a better artist next time, but yeah, it was pretty decent.
Yeah.
What is going on with that font?
I don't know about that, dude.
It looked like the Kings, the old Kings font.
I'm looking at that shot of Nolan, and I'm going, man, we need some better artists. Or dude, because, like, remember the series of posters that they did for the 2015-2016 season? And, like, the Nabokov one I have hanging here, the Nabokov one was great. But the one of Pavelski was horrific. It looked so bad.
Yeah, I remember it was like a bad Pablo Picasso.
Oh, it was bad.
Okay, well, if you haven't already, you can find us using your favorite podcatcher with iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, of course, the YouTube. You can also find us on the glorious website, tealtownusa.com. We're going to have some featurettes coming out, especially for All-Star Weekend coming closer and closer. It's an inch in there. And
stay tuned for the Puck Guy show after this.
Yeah, right. For everybody here at Teal Town USA, thank you very much for tuning in, and we will see you after the Kings game.